Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming.
Over the last few programs, I've been teaching on the grace of God. And when you study the grace of God, we can clearly see that many people don't seem to understand that God wants to extend his grace to everyone that is willing. The prodigal son, when he left the father, and years later when he came back, the Bible teaches us that he came to his senses, and he came home and he was going to tell his father that he wasn't worthy to be his son. And the father saw him from afar off and ran to him and threw his arms around him. The prodigal son accepted the fact that he was worthless, but the father determined otherwise, and he put a ring upon his finger, a robe on him, shoes on his feet, and declared him part of the family. So this is the question I have for Christians today. We may be very adamant about our unworthiness, but at the same time, can we accept the fact that God has made us part of his family? He has put his ring upon our hands, his robe on us, and his sandals, which represent power, which represent all the authority of that father's house. So can we accept that in our humility? Yes, we can see when we turn to the Lord that we were useless and worthless. But at the same time, can we accept the elevation that God brings to our lives? We are holy and pure, without spot or wrinkle, and part of the family of God. This is what God is trying to convey to us by his grace. He's showing us by his grace that we have achieved that through what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. So today I want to teach on an interesting subject. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace, and I ask you, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the signs of the times, for we are fast running out of time. I thank you for your grace, and I ask you to anoint this message. Bless the listener. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the subjects that I challenge Christians with is this. Are you looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Do you, with anticipation, look for that glorious appearing? Or are you still not quite sure that you're good enough for his appearing? We need to understand that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us righteous and holy, and that we should believe and accept that fact. In Titus chapter 2 in verse 11, it tells us this: "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." So this is what the Bible teaches us, is that this should be the anticipation of every believer. His lifestyle should show that he is looking for the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm not looking for a time when I'll be tested. The Bible teaches us that in this world we shall suffer persecution, we shall be tested. But he said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." That is found in John chapter 16 in verse 33. He tells us to be of good cheer. So if anybody is not looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with anticipation, I have a question for you. How can you be cheerful? How can you be in good cheer if you're not anticipating Jesus to come back? If you're not looking for his glorious appearing? This is the question I want you to ask yourself. Am I really ready for the Lord to come back? Am I looking for that blessed hope? Is that the hope in my heart today? We as Christians need to understand that this is what the Apostle Paul commanded us to study and to be assured in ourselves. In his writing, he teaches us over and over again
that we should live soberly and righteously and anticipate the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by soberly and righteously, I don't mean you to be a spoiled sport going about with a cast down face. What I'm telling you is, you know in your heart that you're right with God and that you're ready for His coming. And there is a joy and a peace that passes all understanding within you. If you don't have that, then you need to do some homework. You need to study the Word. You need to get to know the Lord. In Titus chapter 2 in verse 14, it tells us this: who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We are a peculiar people. We're different. People call us different. That has happened to me over and over again. Many, many will separate themselves from you because of who you represent. Over the years, I have tried to blend in with the unbeliever, to kind of be like them. The Apostle Paul says, with the Roman, I am with the Roman. With the Greek, I am as the Greek. So you try these tricks every now and then. But these people don't accept you because they recognize that you are different. And they don't want you in their presence if they are not from God. So the Bible teaches us we are a peculiar people and we should be zealous of good works. That means we should be at peace with everyone and look forward to trying to reach people for the gospel. This is what good works is in the Bible. Trying to reach people for the gospel. It tells us in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But after that, in the kindness of the love of God our Savior towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So here it is, basically in a nutshell. We were foolish, we were disobedient, we were deceived, we were serving Satan, we were living in pleasure, we were hateful, envious, hating one another. Then the kindness of God opened our hearts, and we were changed. All in an instant, we were changed. And that was not done by our own righteousness. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. He washed us and regenerated us and renewed us in the Holy Spirit. That's what true Christianity is. You cannot slowly lead up to being a Christian where you'll finally hit that sweet spot and then you're a Christian. No, God regenerates you. He changes your heart. He places His Holy Spirit in you and you then become a Christian. It's the work of God that brings the regeneration, not your own efforts. So God wants us to understand that. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 1, it tells us, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. Show people the way of salvation. Because He's soon coming back, He's telling us He'll come back to judge the quick, those who are alive and those who are dead. And we will all appear before the great judge of the universe. So he is telling us to be his representative here on this earth, to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, exhort and rebuke with all long suffering. Rebuking a person is not, you don't go there and tell a person to repent or else. That's not what rebuking is. When you see a brother who is not living for God, and you know that he's born again, that is called rebuke. If you give him a word of assurance, if you give him a warning, that's rebuke. And then you exhort him. You show him that Jesus still loves him and that you want him to walk righteously. And you have to do that with long-suffering, gentleness, and kindness. Yes, I know that sometimes goes against our nature, but that person belongs to God, and we have to see that. He is God's workmanship, and we don't rip him apart or her apart just because she doesn't operate the way we want to. So the Bible teaches us something very interesting. The tares and the wheat will grow together. We are supposed to allow them to grow together. One day God himself will do the separating. And then he knows exactly who the wheat is and he knows who the tares are. With us doing the weeding, we may rip out a beautiful plant of God. So we better be careful. It's with grace and mercy and kindness that we rebuke and exhort. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, in verse 3, it tells us, "For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." We are being warned that these things will happen. They will turn away from sound doctrine, but that doesn't give us a right to hack them to pieces. We still have to go according to the rule book of God. We have to exhort them with long-suffering, tenderness, and gentleness, and kindness. That's what we have to do. I know it's frustrating when you see homosexuality being preached in churches, same-sex marriage, and transgender. It's very discouraging when you hear of churches doing that, and you would like to rip them apart, but God tells us, let the wheat and the tares grow together. I'm going to be the one that's going to separate them. So it's our job to exhort and rebuke and try to show them the right way, not giving in to their demands by agreeing with them, but standing on the word of God that these things are wrong. Regardless how popular the opinion is, homosexuality is wrong. A promiscuous lifestyles is wrong. Pornography is wrong. Pedophilia is wrong. These things are an abomination to God, and we have to stand up and proclaim it. But let's not rip these people apart because it's not going to do any good. Let God come and decide which is the wheat and the tare, and he will know for sure. So we need to open our hearts to these things. We are fast running out of time. Jesus is about to come back for his bride. It'll happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive shall be changed. And then we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Then it's going to be over. We are going to be home with our God for the rest of eternity, rejoicing in what he did for us. So open your heart to these incredible truths and become a blessing to yourself. Amen. I understand.
started for a city on that bright eternal shore, where the saints of God shall gather and live on forevermore. It's a land of love and pure delight where my possessions lie, and I'm bound for the land of Canaan when I die. Oh yes, I'm bound
for the land of Canaan,
the land of Canaan.
Yes, I am.
By the love and the grace of God, surely I'm gaining. And despair, and by grace the land of Canaan, I'm determined to be there. Not a thing can ever harm me, I am happy all the day, and I'm bound to the land of Canaan, some sweet day. Oh yes, I'm bound
to the land of Canaan,
to the land of Canaan.
Yes, I am.
By the love and the grace of God, surely I'm
gaining. I'm gaining ground.
Stand and sing his praise over in Canaan's happy land. Oh, the land of rest eternal, where the living waters flow.
One of the most amazing scriptures found in the writings of Paul, of course written and given to him by the Holy Spirit, is when he comes to the end of his life, he makes a confession that we as Christians should all be able to duplicate. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, it tells us this, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day." And now listen to how he closes out this verse. "And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." When I study this scripture, I look at myself and I ask myself this question. Am I ready to be offered? Am I ready to depart? Have I fought a good fight? Yes, my time here on earth is also coming to an end. When you reach 70 years old or 65, then all of a sudden things start to change in your life. Your strength is not what it used to be. And you have to look at yourself. How did you do? How are you going to finish your course? By the grace of God, I will finish my course. Will I be able to say, henceforth there is laid up a crown of righteousness for me? According to Scripture, I am ready to say that. I know that God will give me a crown of righteousness. And what brings on that crown of righteousness? It tells us, those that are looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus will receive a crown of righteousness. It tells us here, I'll read it again, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I am anticipating Jesus to come back. That means I love his appearing. That also means that I will receive a crown of righteousness. My righteousness comes from the Holy, from God, because it was given to me through the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is how we enter into the kingdom of God, through the precious blood. We may do all sorts of things throughout our lives, all sorts of good things, preaching the gospel, giving, helping the poor, doing whatever good godliness there is. But to get into that kingdom, we have to have a crown of righteousness, which is given to us through the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what gives us the right to enter into the kingdom. For the Lord Jesus Christ himself took your sin and my sin upon himself, and he took them out of the way and nailed them to the tree. Now we have been set free from the condemnation of the law. The crown of righteousness has been given to me. I did not earn it. It was given to me. And for those of you who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are running out of time. You could die today. What then? You go into eternity. You're not going to die. Your physical body will die, but your spirit, you yourself, will live on for eternity. The question is, where are you going to spend your eternity? There's only two places. One is called the eternal lake of fire. The other is called the kingdom of God, the portals of glory, where we will be with Jesus for the rest of eternity, where he will show us the mystery of his grace. But if you do not turn to Jesus for your salvation, you are going to spend your eternity separated from God, purposeless for the rest of eternity. Think about that. Purposeless for the rest of eternity in the eternal lake of fire, where the worm dieth not and the smoke ascendeth forever and ever. So open your heart today to the voice of God calling you, for we are fast running out of time. And you may not, the one listening today who's contemplating, who's nonchalant about salvation, you may not be here tomorrow. And then it's going to be too late. So give him your heart today. For now, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Let the Lord open your heart to these interesting and incredible truths and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.